Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of Getting Skin Intimate with Faceplant Aesthetics. My name is Lauren and today I'm answering some of your questions. Okay, so it's been a minute, guys, since I've had a podcast episode. I think the last one was recorded before I had my baby, but went up the week of, I'm pretty sure. But I wanted to do a Q&A on the podcast today, specifically to answer any questions really that I was asked, but especially those asked from other estheticians and SD students. And I kind of asked you guys to give me really, I don't know if juicy is the right word, but juicy questions as far as the industry goes, running a business and stuff, because I really want to be as transparent as possible. Because truthfully, when I was starting out and everything, and even now, I would have appreciated more transparency from others. So I try to be as transparent as possible. So that's what I'm going to do here. So let's get into your questions. Okay, like I said, this podcast does have some questions that are just generic skin ones and whatnot, so I am going to still answer those. I just have all of them pulled up, so might as well. So the first question was, favorite products for sensitive acne-prone skin? Love the Face Reality products, especially more on the gentle side. So Ultra Gentle Cleanser, Calming Toner, or even the Moisture Balance Toner. Clear Derma and Cream Peptide are great. Hydro Balance is great and whatnot. It depends specifically on your skin, because the Hydrinity products are great. I really love integrating Comfort Cream from Glymed into a lot of our more sensitive clients with their boot camp regimens. So yeah, that's just some of them. Next question. Do you have a medical director that covers FPE? I'd love any info on this. Yes. So in the state of Utah, you need a medical director to perform certain services such as dermaplaning, for example. And also some skincare lines like Skin Better Science do require you to have a medical director that oversees your practice. So we do have one. Her name is Shelby. She is amazing. We love her. Do you hire out for socials, marketing, etc.? Not currently. That as the time I'm recording this, but actually this week I'm doing calls with some social media managers and whatnot. I still like to make content and try to make as much content as possible, but honestly, after having my baby and now that I have, you know, another esthetician that works at FPE and we're going to grow and have more eventually, especially once we have our storefront and whatnot, it's just becoming a lot to do literally everything. Like, it's one thing to make the content, but then to go on and post it and be engaging and whatnot. It's so hard, honestly, at least right now with a newborn. So I am looking currently for a social media manager, maybe somebody to help with marketing and whatnot. But I'm looking, don't currently have one, could have one literally in a matter of days though. What you've learned about running monthly promos. Okay, here's the thing about monthly promos is they are great. I try not to do a promo every single month because your pricing should be what it is because that's what your value is. However, truthfully, with the industry as it is, especially in the area we are, everybody's doing promos right now because it is a slower season and whatnot. You know, we just hired another esthetician a few months ago. We are doing more promos than I normally would. Just trying to get books filled and whatnot. And we do find that some of them do really well. Sometimes some of them are hit or miss and whatnot. Do I suggest you do a monthly promo for your practice every single month? Absolutely not. If you can help it, maybe starting out. But if you are somewhat established, I don't think you need to be doing a monthly promo. Again, you should be priced what you feel like you're worth and be sticking to that. So yeah. Okay, the next question is a skin question. How to help texture of my skin and pores look smaller? So things like a retinoid are going to be great. Alpharet peel pads from Skin Better Science are amazing. You can use treatments like Aerolase Laser, which podcast exclusive, and I kind of mentioned it here and on our close friend story. Some of you have seen we are bringing on the Aerolase Laser, and I have more exciting news with that soon. But it's amazing for texture and pores as well, especially if you do combination therapy with it, like add on a bio repeal. So beautiful. So yeah. How to start solo? This is a bit of a loaded question because there's so much that goes into it. There's stuff on the business side, stuff on the actual aesthetic side. I always suggest addressing the business side of things first, making sure you're legal, squared away and whatnot, you know, get your business licenses, for, you know, your city, get your EIN, for taxes and business purposes, make sure that you have both personal liability insurance and then like property insurance for all of your tools and equipment and whatnot. And then when starting solo doing aesthetics services, In school, I heard and I was told, oh, just offer everything because you need to get people in the door. That may be the case, but also at the same time, I found actually when I niched down to acne, that's when I really grew. So my suggestion would be maybe not niche down that specifically, but maybe if you're really only wanting to do skin services, only offer skin services. Don't offer things like waxing too, even though you're wanting to just get clients in the door, because long term they're not going to be your clients. What booking system do you use? We use Square. I actually really love Square. I don't think it gets enough credit. I think it's simple. I think it's effective. It's somewhat affordable compared to other booking systems and whatnot. I love Square, and our website is through Square as well. So yeah. Another social media question, how do I do it? I used to be way more intentional and planned with our social media, and now it's kind of like whenever I get the chance, I'm just creating whatever content I can or get inspired to make, and then I'm posting it. Lately, the last couple weeks, I've been more into, especially because I'm trying to get more on TikTok, I've been more into just doing videos. So if I'm doing my skincare routine in the evening or in the morning, I'm recording however many videos I can while my baby's still asleep. And whatnot, or napping or whatever. And I find that I actually really, really like just reels and TikToks where I'm just standing there and educating and talking to my audience and my clients. And so far, I've only been doing this for like a week, maybe 2 weeks, but so far it's actually been receiving good feedback and engagement on both Instagram. And even, I don't have a big TikTok following and honestly don't get a ton of views, but I still have people that message me, DM me, like, oh my gosh, this was so helpful, or follow-up questions and whatnot. So I find that I actually really like making that kind of content because it's just so easy just to stand there and talk like I'm talking to my client, educating you guys. And obviously that's what I want to do, is educate you guys, that way you're getting your skin results. So that's another way I do it. But again, I'm looking into hiring a social media manager because I wanted to do a little bit more with our social medias in general, like both Instagram and TikTok and whatever else. Hence the reason I'm hiring a media manager. I want to find our aesthetic again, especially with, I don't know if a rebrand is the right word, but I'm just wanting to change up how our content looks and how it's put out there. Just because, I don't know, first of all, I'm getting a little bored. Second of all, with the growth of FPE, I'm trying to start changing things to how I want them to be for when we have like our storefront, which should hopefully be in a few months and whatnot. So I'm looking to hire a social media manager to help me with the goals and the dream and the vision I have for our new aesthetic, because as much as I love just having those cute little cartoon graphics and whatnot, and I still will probably do some here and there, they're just becoming so popular, and I do get really good engagement on them. Like, truthfully, hundreds of shares, hundreds of saves, whatever it is, every time I post a graphic. But I want something, especially with integrating more things into the business with FPE, not just aesthetics, but more wellness things, like with the hair analysis and everything. I want things to really reflect our aesthetic as a business and our goals as a business as a whole. And I don't know. The graphics are cute and everything, but my vibe is much more minimalistic and whatnot. So I'm kind of trying to, that's why I'm meeting with social media managers. Basically, I went on a tangent. I'm so sorry, but yeah. How to know what to charge. So depending on the treatments you're offering, a lot of brands will tell you, okay, this is your overhead and this is what you need to charge. Some brands, for example, have like a minimum of what you're supposed to charge for certain treatments. Just because they want it at least base charge straight across the board with every esthetician that offers their treatment the same starting off. Just they want to be fair. But for example, if you're using Glymed and you're, let's say you're using some of their protocols to create your own facials, it says, or it used to at least when I was at first coming up with our pricing years ago, they would say, this is what we suggest charging for this treatment. This is what cost of treatment is. So kind of going off of there, know your worth. Don't undercharge. Don't be like, okay, I need to do a $50 facial just to get people in the door. Again, you're just going to be attracting people who are looking for just the next best discount, and they're going to go to somebody else the next month. So charge your worth, stick with it. Best advice. I could have so much advice for you just depending on kind of what you're looking for. Again, know your worth, have patience, just like how we tell our clients to have patience when it comes to their skin and skin goals. We as estheticians, business owners, all that need to have patience when it comes to growing our business and gaining clientele. You know, there are very slow seasons. There are really busy seasons and whatnot. There are times where for some reason or another, clients decide that they need to go somewhere else or stop their treatments. You know, there's so many factors that go into it. But just, again, stick with it. Have faith. Be patient. You can do it. Okay. This is somebody that asked. Okay. So somebody asked what happened with the storefront that we were looking at. So we have a close friend story, guys, for like mainly our clients that want to be in it to get like the sneak peek on things. We have some SD friends in it, whatnot. But our close friend story, what was it, a week ago, a week and a half ago, something like that? We posted that we found basically what was our ideal storefront. and it was truly because, again, we're gearing towards more, not just, you know, aesthetics treatments, but again, we're doing hair analysis and some other things. But minimum, I had told my husband, oh, the dream would be to have, you know, a storage room or two, a decent sized reception area, a laundry room, at least one bathroom, a consult room, and then 3 to 4 treatment rooms alone, and then some extra rooms / space for other things that I don't want to mention yet because they're soon to come at FPE, hopefully. And we were just like, with the way real estate is for storefronts in Utah, we're going to be looking at spending like $7,000 before a build out. And we found a place that is not a super old building. I think it's just a couple years old, but basically they had that. We were just going to need to break down one wall to make the reception area bigger and close up one wall to separate it from the room, the suite, whatever next door, because the previous renter of that building had taken up 3 different like suites, storefronts, if that makes sense. So we were just going to take one of them and close up one of the walls that was, anyway. So basically space-wise, we had found our ideal space, and it was such a good price compared, again, to pretty much everywhere else. And we were like, oh my gosh, this is like too good to be true. This is so amazing. We contacted the realtor. We went and saw it. We were going to meet with the contractor and the landlord and everything the next day. My husband, Curtis, and I, basically, we were, maybe this is dumb of us, but we were ready to sign the next day for this storefront because, again, the price could not be beat. It was like half the price of what every other storefront in the area is. And that's, again, before a build out, they were that price, those other storefronts. So we were like, this is such a good deal. Like, let's just sign this lease, because even if we need to do a bit more work on this space, and honestly, it wasn't going to be that much, we're like, it's still going to be significantly like thousands of dollars less each month having this space and doing this. So we are going to do that. However, they recently had somebody else move into the building who was professional makeup art, or permanent makeup artist. That's what I'm trying to say. Permanent makeup artist. So, you know, doing microblading and stuff. And in this building, the the renters, whatever you want to call them, they have to state in their lease the services they offer, just because the landlord doesn't want to deal with like competition, everything, and renters kind of being Nazi towards each other. So you're supposed to, in the lease, indicate your exact treatments and whatnot, so that way they're not competes or whatever. Totally fine. Well, this permanent makeup artist person in the building, in their lease, according to the realtor and everyone we had talked to, had only indicated that she was doing, you know, permanent makeup, you know, brows, lashes, and that was it. And that's what she had in her lease that she was offering. But she is, you know, a licensed esthetician as well. She's actually, I think, an instructor. Anyway, so doing their due diligence, like the realtor and everything, checked in with them. It's like, hey, can we have a list of all your treatments that you're offering? And this person then sent a list, and it included other skin services like microneedling, some little facials and everything. They're like, wait, this is way more than you initially told us. And like massages even. They're like, these treatments aren't in your lease. So we were like, okay, well, if it's not in their lease legally, that shouldn't be an issue because they didn't indicate that. So whatever. But basically, long story short, the landlord didn't want to deal with the hassle because this permanent makeup artist person did not want to have us in the building. She was like, no, I'm offering these exact same treatments, even though she didn't indicate so on her lease and doesn't even market for these treatments, basically. So it was really disappointing because my husband and I actually were, especially my husband, really going back and forth with his realtor and everything, like, because the realtor was kind of being the middleman for the landlord a little bit. And we were like, listen, like, this is not in her lease. She did not indicate it. And actually, one of the renters right next door to her, they have people who are doing facials and doing microneedling. So there's already no issue with the non-compete there. How come they can be in the building, but we can't be? Like, anyway, like, we were fighting, not like rudely or anything, but like, we were really trying to just get this space. Because we're like, listen, we want to sign for the space. We will literally sign and give you the down payment tomorrow. Landlord just did not want to deal with it because I guess this lady was being a headache to him, basically. She did not want us in the building. So that's what happened, unfortunately. Because again, it was ideal and I did get really upset, but everything happens for a reason. So moving on. Somebody asked how I pick the brands that we bring into the practice. So usually what happens, honestly, with where we're at with FPE, brands approach us for both product lines and even treatments. They approach us for the most part. They say, hey, we think we'd be a great fit for you in your practice. Can we figure out a partnership? We'd love to send you some products to try, or we'd love to schedule a demo for this treatment, things like that. So usually the brands reach out to us, and from there we kind of tell them, yeah, no thanks, just based off of knowing what I know about the brands, looking into them or whatever it may be. Or I do schedule, you know, a meeting to learn about the brand and try the products, and or schedule a demo. Anyway, so that's usually the first steps. Then, you know, if it's a product line, let's talk about product lines in particular, I will try out the products for a few weeks to a few months. So for example, Epicutis. So here's the thing about Epicutis. I love Epicutis. I think their products are amazing. Their rep reached out to me back in, it was either April or May, and she sent me trial sizes of the majority of their products. And I already knew, especially the lipid serum, I wanted to bring them on, but because we don't, if you're a client, you've been to our space, yeah, we have two suites that we're renting, but we don't have a lot of space at the same time, especially for everything that we're doing. And I just told her, like, I don't think, like, I'd love to bring you on when I have a storefront. I just don't have the space for all these products right now. Like, I also just agreed to bring on other product lines. I'm already, like, stressing as it is to fit them into the suites and whatnot. And so I was just using the products, and then this was back, yeah, in April or May. And then afterwards, she, I think it was maybe end of July, she reached out to me again because she had been messaging me since she originally sent those travel sizes. And she would just be like, hey, like, I really think we'd be a great fit. Like, you know, kind of like, bring us on, Lauren. And I would just keep telling her, like, oh, I don't know. Like, let me try the products for longer. Like, I don't have the space. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so finally, she actually sent me, it was either earlier this month, was it earlier this month or late last month? One of the two. She sent me a PR package with full sizes of all the products. And then she got on a call with me and she was like, Lauren, here's the thing. I will give you whatever you want. Like, you just have to bring on one of the products even. So, like, I know you said you don't have the space, but if you just bring on one of the products, like, you already said you want to bring us on, which I do. She's like, I get you don't have the space. I get you said you wanted to wait for your storefront, but I'm telling you, you're having a missed opportunity by not having at least one of the products, like the lipid serum in particular. And you know, I think she's right, because the lipid serum is freaking magic with that TSC ingredient in it. Like, I've been using it again for months, and she sent me that trial size, whatever. So I'm kind of that. This call was literally like actually the same day we went and looked at the storefront. And anyway, I was like, yeah, let me just kind of get things squared away with the storefront situation, and I'll get back to you. Well, we were told the storefront situation, it looks like I'm just gonna reach out to her and we'll have Epicutis, at least the lipid serum. Similar thing happened with Plated. I actually found out about Plated at IECSC back in June, which is the aesthetics conference. Tried their intense serum. It's amazing. My derm back in California also mentioned it to me, and how amazing it is, because he had it, I guess. And sorry, my husband tried coming in with my baby. And Alloderm, that's what I was trying to say. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Exosomes, awesome. Anyway, the rep in Utah for Plated Skincare reached out to Casey, actually, our esthetician that worked for us, and me, and she's like, I'd love to meet with you, give you some of the products to try, blah, blah, blah. Plated's amazing, guys. Exosomes, the technology, the formulations, what the heck, it's like no other. So another exclusive, yes, we're also bringing on Plated. So two new skincare lines. Yeah. honestly, when it comes to meeting with brand reps for product lines in particular, a lot of the time when they're like, Lauren, like they'll be messaging me for a little bit, trying to convince me to at least get on a call with them. And finally I do, thinking, oh, like I already have looked into this line, maybe tried some of their products. I'll bring them on later. But then I hop on the call and I'm like, okay, here's my card info. Let's make the order. That's usually how it goes. But I at least do my due diligence in regard to making sure that I've tried the products out for a while before hopping on a call with these reps. But another thing I'm actually trying to do moving forward at FPE, again, we're changing some things, updating some things. We're trying to make things more cohesive and whatnot, especially with trying to plan for, I'm trying to think of what the word is, more permanent things, especially with getting a storefront. We want things just very set in stone. I'm going to be working on the next few weeks, maybe a couple months, just again, things are crazy with having a newborn, trying to really square down our favorite products from specifically from the brands that we carry, and only carrying those products from those brands. If I don't like or don't find a product to be super beneficial for the majority of our clients from a certain brand, and I mean any brands, like Face Reality, Skin Better, any of them, Glymed, whatever the brands they are, Color Science, whatever it is, I don't want to carry those products. If I don't think they're efficacious, if I don't really see long-term results, not only with my own skin, but with our clients, I really just want to make sure we're only offering what we believe to truly be the best product line-wise and treatment-wise. So that's kind of a project I'm giving myself to work on, but I know it's going to be a bit. Yeah. Another question I got asked, oh, it's the same person. Okay, how do I decide on the treatments we offer? So kind of similar situation. I'll try them out, talk with the reps and everything. When it comes to protocols, I kind of update protocols as time passes, as we have more technology, more formulations, as we bring on new treatments, and I'm editing other ones that we had already been offering. Maybe I'm getting rid of some. So that's another project in conjunction with the product line one, is to, again, planning for our storefront and how I want things to be. I'm trying to plan exactly how I want our treatments, the protocols, combination therapies, everything to be laid out. Maybe offering different things now with things such as Acne Bootcamp. Just I'm trying to really, really have things squared away. How do I deal with copycats? Okay, I get asked this quite a bit, actually. Copycats, let's be real, guys. Is there much originality in the industry? Yes and no. I think you can easily have your aesthetic and have your brand, But as far as originality goes, like, there's only so many lines, so many treatments or whatever. But truthfully, guys, let's I'm just, again, I'm being transparent. I've been the first to offer multiple product lines and even treatments in my area in Utah, okay? Sometimes even the entire state of Utah, I've been the first. Knowing I'm the first, I'm like, well, also there's going to be others. Like, what I'm offering isn't proprietary to me, and what I'm offering is amazing product lines and is amazing treatments and equipment and everything. So of course there's gonna be more people. Does that mean these people are copying me? No, these people are smart. They know what the best of the best is, and they're offering it. Simple as that. Something I have realized though is that often when I announce something new coming to FPE, let's say the hair scans, for example, all of a sudden I have 15 DMs from people. How do I do this? How do I do this in my practice? Can you give me what you went through, the program you did, blah, blah, blah. And often I'll be mentioning these things a little bit quietly here and there for months and months and months. Like, I've been talking about hair scans. Actually, I've been referring clients to get hair scans done since we opened our practice over 2 years ago. But I've been talking about myself being an integrative health practitioner doing hair scans for months and months now. But it isn't until I announce, hey, we're officially doing this or whatever, that all of a sudden I do get a bunch of DMs like, I want to do this too. Give me the info. And I'm happy to give the info. I'm not going to gatekeep by any means. Like, if it's beneficial to any client, like whether they're mine or not, I want the best for everybody out there. So I'm not going to gatekeep. I'm going to give the info. But again, I don't necessarily think these people are copycats. Again, they know what the best of the best is. And I do see that I kind of influence some people in the industry a little bit, which is great. And it's very humbling and amazing. At the same time, it kind of stresses me out to try to make sure that I'm always doing something to set FPE apart. Because sometimes I have brought on something new or done something different or whatever, and then somebody shortly after does it, and all of a sudden I'm not setting our business apart anymore. So then I'm like stressed about what else can I do next. That's been, oh my gosh, my baby's crying. I might have to cut this episode short and do a second part. I'm so sorry, but he comes first. But that's kind of the truth when it comes to copycats. Like, I don't really think there's necessarily quote unquote copycats, other than when people straight up just take my posts, especially my client before and afters, and pretend like they're theirs. I think that's so unethical. But as far as like, oh, if I'm, you know, offering a new brand or offering a new treatment, like, of course there's gonna be more people to do it because they're smart. They know what the best of the best is. So yeah. Okay, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm going to cut this episode short. Again, my baby's crying. He comes first. And my husband's trying to study for his real estate exam. So I will do a part two. It'll go up next week. I love you guys so much. Thank you for inviting me into your life, listening to this episode. I hope it was somewhat helpful. I know it was a little bit rushed towards the end, and I did go on some tangents, but that's kind of what I'm known for. So I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Stay safe, and I will talk with you next week. Bye.